Hello and welcome to episode 10 of the Red Sox On Deck Prospect Podcast, part of the Over the Monster Podcast Network. I am your host, Bob Osgood. Shelly is out this week. She'll be back next week. And in her place, we have a familiar guest to the Over the Monster fans. Keaton DeRocher is here. Keaton, what's going on, man?
Not much. Glad to fill in for Shelly. Talk some prospects.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us. We're going to get into the news and notes, and we finally have some news and notes in a second. First, some reminders. If you enjoy what we do here, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on whichever platform you use to listen to the Over the Monster podcast. We have this, the On Deck podcast. We also have the Over the Monster podcast with Matt Collins and Brian Joyner, the Red Seat with Jake Devereaux and Keaton DeRocher, and the Precap with Shelley and Keaton. So both of those who you'll be familiar with after today. So moving along to the news and notes, Keaton, we no longer have to use the words alternate site in the present tense, hopefully ever again. 20 months later, we saw baseball played yesterday on minor league diamonds. It was a great thing. I've got my MILB TV subscription for the first time, and I'm ready to go with this. Figured that we would start by reading off some of the assignments of the different levels. And, you know, we talked level by level, Shelly and I and Jake, for the first few weeks, AAA down to low A and below, which we don't have assignments for yet, below low A. But I figured I would go through kind of, we've been using the SoxProspects.com list, their top 30, few names at each level, just to kind of reinforce that. Most of them are the same as where they were expected to be from that site, but at AAA Worcester, Jeter Downs, who was a shortstop, second baseman, Jaron Duran, center fielder, Tanner Houck, right-handed pitcher, Connor Siebold, right-handed pitcher, who's starting on the injured list, Connor Wong, catcher, Edward Bazzardo, right-handed pitcher, and Jonathan Araúz, infielder. At AA Portland, we've got Tristan Cassius, first base, Thaddeus Ward, right-handed pitcher, Ronaldo Hernandez, catcher, Jason Rosario, center field, Frank German, right-handed pitcher, Josh Winkowski, right-handed pitcher, Durbin Feltman, right-handed pitcher, and A.J. Politi, right-handed pitcher. At High A Greenville, Jake Groom, left-handed pitcher, Chris Murphy, left-handed pitcher, Brian Bayo, right-handed pitcher, and Jacob Wallace, right-handed pitcher. At Low A, Gilberto Jimenez, center field, Aldo Ramirez, right-handed pitcher, Nick York, second base, Matthew Lugo, shortstop, Nick Decker, outfield, Jorge Rodriguez, left-handed pitcher, and Ryan Zephyrjohn, right-handed pitcher. And then a few others, extended spring training, Brainerd Bonacci as shortstop, as well as Blaze Jordan, corner infielder. And then some others, Brian Mata, we know, is injured, Hudson Potts, third base, second base, is injured, and Noah Song, who we've talked about plenty, filling military commitments. So those are the official assignments. They came out shortly after we recorded last week, so it seemed like something worth getting back to before moving on to some of the games that we've seen in the last day. Keaton, starting off in Worcester last night, the Worcester Red Sox lost to the Buffalo Bisons 6-1. There were a couple of interesting names. It wasn't a great game for the Red Sox. Tanner Houck, who we've talked about plenty on this show and been certainly very excited about how he's looked in his major league appearances, he allowed 8 hits in 3 innings as well as 3 runs. The offense was shut down by Nate Pearson, and Jeter Downs and Jaron Duran each were 0-for-4. So it was interesting to me. I did catch a couple innings of that game, seeing all of those players that we've seen in the major leagues, you know, with Pearson going against Houck as the pitching matchup in itself was interesting. Also saw Rowdy Tellez and just a few different names that we've seen a lot of over the last couple of years. Any thoughts or, you know, any concerns from that first game? Or do you think it's just kind of, you know, with Houck giving up 8 hits, might be a bit of a drag being down at AAA after he'd been in the big leagues?
Yeah, I'm not surprised that Haupt stumbled a bit, mainly because, you know, he went through an entire spring training with the big league team, had an initial start at the major league level, and then it was paused down to the alternate site, then came back for another spot start, and then was shut down for a really long time before finally getting going again here. That's not a great way to start a season, to just kind of be that intermittent. So I'm not surprised that he struggled a little bit, especially against a team in the Bisons that had, as you outlined, like a handful of batters in their roster that have seen some major league pitching. Tellez tends to just murder the Red Sox. So the fact that he was just able to get through three innings and not be hurt, I think I'm happy about, and I'll look for him to have a much better start second time around.
Yeah, I hear that. And it sounded like they want him to work on a third pitch down there, too. I didn't exactly get an overview of what he was throwing and how often, but he might be working on some things down there. And they might have told him, you know, don't worry about the results. Go down there, develop a third pitch. But I agree with you. It's been start and stop. He hasn't been out there for a lengthy appearance in quite some time, so not a huge surprise. We're going to talk about Jarren Duran a little bit towards the end of this episode, but he was 0-for-4. He did make in the first couple of innings a nice catch at the wall where he got a good jump on the ball, tracked it, caught it at the wall, got it back in for a double play. So it was good to see him. You know, there's been a little bit of question about his outfield play, and now that this is his first time playing minor league competitive games, as much as he's been playing, we've been seeing his name everywhere as much as anybody in the Red Sox system. So it was good to see him get a good jump on the ball and playing center field. It looks like he'll play a little left and right to keep him versatile, as we talked about last week. Moving down to the Portland Sea Dogs. At AA, they lost the New Hampshire Fisher Cats 11-2. Andrew Politi was the pitcher there. He was ineffective. He had 9 base runners in 4 innings, gave up 4 runs, had 4 strikeouts. So not a great day there. But a couple of higher-up prospects, Tristan Cashes, first of all, was 2-for-4 with an RBI and 2 strikeouts. And then Jason Rosario, who we're going to talk about later, he was 2-for-3 with a walk and a run. Stolen base and a caught stealing. Keaton, anything to add there? You know, we'll be talking about these guys in a little bit, but any thoughts on the AA squad this year?
The AA squad and the AAA squad, it's been a while since we have had some depth in the upper minors for the Red Sox, and both Worcester and Portland have really great baseball teams this year, at least to start. I imagine by the end they won't, because they've got some really nice players. So at least to start, we've got some depth in the upper minors, and it's really nice to see Casas and Rosario get off to hot starts. I'm not real worried about Duran miss a day, because, again, he had an intermittent start going through a full spring training and then not doing anything for a really long time, just doing the exhibition games at the alternate site. So not worried about that, but it's always good when you see – you know, guys that you want to see succeed start off right away and being successful. So I like it.
Yeah. And, to be clear, we're not going to be going game by game the whole season. We're just excited to have one day worth of results. It feels like we have a month worth of games to talk about here. There is something that has happened. There are games being played. So it's good to just have a couple of tidbits to talk about, but we're certainly not going to look at Downs or Duran going 0-for-4 in game one and start panicking. So don't worry about that. Elsewhere, there was a lot of rain, and there is continued rain tonight. It looks like some of these games are in question as we're recording on Wednesday night. But on Tuesday night, there was the Greenville team was rained out at High A, and Salem played one inning, and then they were rained out at Low A. Aldo Ramirez got the start. Unfortunately, gave up a 2-run homer, and that was the only inning that he pitched, so not much to take away there. I know I've talked a lot about Ramirez, and I'm excited to see him start this year, as excited really of anyone that I'm hoping to make a jump in the system, so I'm going to have to wait another few days to take a look at a Ramirez appearance. And then we it's a requirement that we bring up Garrett Whitlock, especially since last week I was considering comparing him to Pedro Martinez and mentioning that he was one-third of the way to the all-time record for most innings to start a career. He was at 13. The record was 39. And he is human. He finally gave up a run. Since we've talked every week about Garrett Whitlock, I will take a back seat. Anything that you want to add, Keaton, about Whitlock and what you've seen so far to start this year? And are you as excited as I am?
Yeah, just that he's really fun. I'm sure that you've talked him to death, so I don't think there's anything I can say that will add any new insight to it. He's just fun to watch and like to see it keep going.
Yeah, and seems to be pitching in higher leverage situations, and same thing with Darwin's in later in the game. So it was good to see Ottavino bounce back a little bit last night, but that will, you know, whether it's Hauk or it's Whitlock, we've talked about that. They might be at the start of the games or at the back of the games, or who knows. These 2 months are so important to kind of evaluate the team and see what you have and then make adjustments from there. So did want to talk with you today about the draft a little bit, Keaton. We did an episode 2 weeks ago talking about some of about the top four players and our targets and some possibilities outside of that top four. Kind of want to start by asking you, who are you hoping that the Red Sox end up with at the fourth pick as a first question?
Well, I mean, it's one of the two Vandy pitchers. It seems like Jack Leiter, the helium, is just is elevated him a lot. Like, I mean, I remember at the beginning of the college season, there was a bunch of mock drafts that had Leiter going seventh. And I was like, there is no way that's possible, because if he's there at four, the Red Sox are taking him. So I was excited about that, because it seemed like there was a very real chance that was going to happen. And now it kind of seems like they have an outside shot at Rocker, with Leiter probably going first. I would love that. Really, they're hoping that Detroit has been rumored to want to go under slot at number three. And if that's the case, they will not take Rocker. But I don't know if you can be that stupid that high up in the draft. Like, if you have a top three pick and you have a chance to get Rocker, like, go under slot somewhere else. Right. You don't go under slot the number three pick. So,
and last year when there was only five rounds, I feel like there were less opportunities to go under slot and you had less flexibility. But yeah, you don't want to do that at three.
No. So I imagine the Tigers are going to be smarter than that. So he's probably not going to be there. And then if that's the case, we're probably looking at Marcelo Meyer, who I'm sure you've probably talked about. But a guy that actually really interests me a lot is Jackson Jobe. I don't know if you've talked about him.
We haven't, so have at it.
Great. So he's a prep arm right-handed pitcher out of Oklahoma who already has four pitches that all grade out above average. He's got a 60 fastball, 65 slider, the best slider in the class, prep and college. And then he already has a fourth pitch of a 55 curveball and even a 60 change.
Wow.
So being 18 and having four above average pitches is like very rare.
Yep.
Dylan Bundy, who was also an Oklahoma guy, and was, I believe, at one point the second number two overall prospect in baseball. Had a similar arsenal. He was a bit stockier. So maybe there's some like durability issue, especially with a guy that's 18 already, but, he tops out at 96, sits more consistently 92 to 94. But at, you know, he's 18, he can probably add a couple miles an hour to that by the time he would be major league ready. But I think the biggest thing for the Red Sox is finding a pitcher at number four. And if it's not one of the Vandy boys, I'd be pretty happy with Jobe here.
Yeah, so you would probably you'd be okay if they went pitcher regardless.
Yeah. I would, because this guy is available. I mean, if this is kind of a unique class with Leiter and Rocker. Like, if they weren't there, he might be in the mix to go number one. But it's surprisingly top heavy with pitching. So
yeah, and the latest MLB mock with Jim Callis has Jobe going 11th to the Nationals. just for perspective.
Yeah.
But we might see him jump up.
Yeah, I mean, I would. I think I have my heart set on pitching, though, so that might be why.
Yeah.
But it is extremely rare to find an 18-year-old that has four pitches, let alone all above 50 grades.
Right.
And to have one of his pitches be the best pitch in the class with that slider and the Red Sox affinity for slider-first guys.
Right.
And getting the most out of them. It just seems like such a great fit for the need and his skill set and just the raw talent that's there.
And it would just be great to see them develop a pitcher, because
right.
What's the last one?
Lester.
Yes, right.
I mean, I guess...
Because you could argue some other ones, but it's Lester for me.
Yeah, same. I mean, I guess you could argue Buchholz.
Yeah.
But too inconsistent. It's probably Lester.
Yeah.
Yep, so, I mean, yeah, and honestly, he probably does have a lot of Jay Groom vibes to him, but because, again, that was a prep arm that had, he didn't have four pitches, but he had three above-average pitches, and he had the best curveball in the class, built similarly to 6'2", 190. The only difference was Groom had some red flags, and he dropped to, was it 12th, I think? The Red Sox had that pick. This would be kind of maybe reaching on a guy. MLB.com has him as number 6 in the class, and you said that most recent mock has him at 11, so maybe this would be going a bit high. But, you know, this would be a way for the Red Sox to get a pitcher and go under slot. If, you know, he's expecting to be 11th, they could probably save a few $100,000 there for a pick later in the round. So I think it checks a lot of the boxes that I'm looking for the Red Sox to target at that pick, as well as perhaps save a little bit of money for the draft class. So if Rocker's not there, I'm hoping they go Jobe.
Yeah, and these mocks are changing every week, and Lord knows what is causing them to change, right? The latest one they have is Jordan Lawler going 1 to the Pirates and Leiter dropping to 2. That's the first time that I've seen that. But, you know, it mentioned that Leiter's given up 8 home runs in the past 3 weeks. I don't know what that is, 4 or 5 starts. But seems like I don't think we'll see him at 7 again, but that is slipping a little bit. So this stuff is just, it's changing by the week.
Yeah. Well, there was
who knows
two...
what people know.
Not last week, but the week before, that mock had Rocker going 4th, and the same week ESPN came up with their rankings and they had Rocker 4th, and then last week MLB.com came out with another mock and they had Rocker going 3rd. So it's like, I don't know what's changed in 4 days, but
yeah. Oh, it's 4 today. Yeah. So that won't confuse you at all.
Oh, so it's gone back down. Okay.
Yes. They got Meyer at 3rd and Rocker at 4. So
Pittsburgh going with Lawler, though, that makes more sense to me because, one, they're still awful developing pitchers, but Leiter is almost major league ready, and that team is bad.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't make any sense to develop him and then force him to try and play on a really bad team, because then they'll be out of control and have to trade him and probably get hosed on another pitching trade.
Right.
So for just the love of Jack Leiter, I really hope that they go Lawler, because that fits their timeline way better.
Yeah, the Pirates get beat up on a lot, but it's
I mean, I know they just purged everybody, but
yeah,
I don't know if I have confidence that they'll replace them with competent people. So
yeah, the only team that I'm glad we don't have to look up at here is the Rockies, because, well, I guess I wish they were ahead of the Red Sox, but they're purging as well.
Yeah.
All right. So, great name. Glad you threw that out there. Any other thoughts, or you want to kind of move on to some of the...
For nearly 4 decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Yeah, one other guy that would be interesting, but I don't expect the Red Sox to go that route, is Henry Davis, catcher from Louisville.
Yeah.
He has been compared to Will Smith, but more polished. He's a bat-first catcher. He's a really strong arm, but has some work to do on his receiving skills, which, as a college catcher, kind of extends his ETA out there. Not that the Red Sox are really in need of a catcher, because they actually have some depth there.
Yeah.
But he's just an interesting prospect to me that I'll probably follow with interest, because he does have an interesting skill set. But
yeah, that was my pick as well.
Not someone I would think
top four.
Yeah, I don't know if they would go catcher at four. But I think he's a really interesting prospect.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Wanted to kind of move along a little bit to kind of some prospects that you're most excited about to watch in the Red Sox system in 2021. So I guess, who are you most excited to see, and why is it Jarren Duran?
Yeah, I mean, you get visions of a healthy Ellsbury with this skill set, right? And it's just hard. I mean, I don't think he could be like that 31 homer season, but consistently 20 home runs, 30 steals, hitting 280 to 290. That, while playing gold glove defense in center field in Fenway Park, is just, it's just so exciting to think about. And so, I mean, before he made the adjustments at the alternate site last year with his stance and mechanics at the plate that unlocked some of his power, I was excited about him. I thought even if he was hitting like 10 to 12 homers a year, the rest of his skill set would more than make up for whatever power lapse there would be. And it's just the perfect top of the order guy. So he didn't really need to hit homers, just get on base, which he could do really well, score runs and play defense. And then he started hitting bombs. And I was like, okay. Yeah,
that came out.
I'm here for this. Yeah, so I watched him very intently all spring, watching all of his at-bats, and then continued to hit bombs in spring training and look really good. And I was hoping that if Cordero was going to be hurt for an extended period of time, that there was an outside chance that he'd break camp with Red Sox. But that was probably just wishing on a star. But that's okay, because it's not going to be long before he's up in the major leagues. But and that's basically it. It's just that skill set is just wild. And so I am really excited to see him continue. I mean, it hasn't, we're looking for the power to carry through the major league level, and hopefully at the AAA level as well. But seeing it in spring training in action against major league pitchers at times just made me buy in that much more that it's real. And I believe that it will carry through. And then we'll have ourselves quite the ball player.
Yeah, and with center fielders, it's the opposite of developing a pitcher. And some of these were free agents, but they have had a top-tier center fielder since, 02, 03, going back to Damon and Crisp and Ellsbury and Bradley. And you really got to hope that Duran is the next in that line. But it's been close to two decades that you've had someone out there that you could really rely on defensively, whether it's a great glove or a great arm. So hopefully he can do one of those, because we know he has the speed.
Yep.
So who else did you want to get into? We mentioned Rosario a little at the beginning.
Yeah.
I was watching him last night. He had two hits. He had a steal. The caught stealing was on a hit and run. And he looked comfortable and playing well and a good table setter at the top of the lineup.
Yeah, I really liked Rosario when he signed as a J2 guy in San Diego. And his first couple seasons stateside went pretty well. Hit 299, 404, 368, and then 271, 368, 353. Had like, I mean, it's a bit of a down year in 2019, which probably led to the trade. He jumped up from A ball to high A and hit 244. Yeah, 19 years old. Hit 244, but still had a 372 OBP. Like, he's just, his skill set is, he's really fast. He can get on base. Like, he's basically kind of like Jaren Duran without the power. 18 steals in 2018, 11 steals in 2019. Most steals he's had in the season, or homers he's had in the season, is three, so there's not much power there. But he's got a really great hit tool, real good feel for the strike zone. He'll get on base a bunch and play really good defense. So I'm looking for him to have a nice, strong bounce back season here with the Red Sox. There's a lot of guys that I was bummed we didn't get to see in like actual competition last year. And that's most of my, like, my guys to watch outside of Duran are just guys that I would have been really excited about last year. And then we didn't get to see them. So now I'm like more antsy to see them again.
Yeah.
And Rosario is one of them. I was really happy that he came back in the trade because he was a guy that I liked when he initially came out and got signed. And he's still just really young. He's 21 at AA now. After some time at the alternate site last year. So I'm looking for him to take a nice big step forward, and I think that he can do that. So I'm excited to see him get some at-bats here too.
Yeah, and he might be, if he can take that step, even without the power, if he can be a table-setting hitter for, like you said, he's had a great OBP at every stop, even when his average has been low. He seems to have more of the instincts to play center field. So if they both end up, Duran and Rosario, it's possible that Rosario's in center and Duran's at one of the corners. We're talking obviously a few years from now, not tomorrow, but, you know, it sounds like he might be a little more likely to be a center fielder, at least in current state. Anyone else that you want to talk about that you're excited to see after the year off?
Rosario, Duran, and Verdugo would be an incredibly good defensive outfield too.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
So, excited for that. Yeah, well, Jay Groom, for obvious reasons, now far enough removed from his injuries, only pitched four innings in 2019. Then there was no minor league site, or no minor league games last year. So he was a guy that I was really looking forward to seeing and really thought it would be like his do or die season last year. And there was no minor league. So I still feel the same now. That's basically, he's healthy now. He's had time to develop now with the Red Sox. He's still young, so he's got that going for him. But it feels like if he doesn't put it together this year, that he just may not. That feels like the make or break. So he's a guy that I'm going to be watching because basically he has to take a step forward at this point and have a healthy season.
Yeah, we need to send Chris Sale down to wherever he is and light a fire under his ass again like he did a couple years ago. Be the Kevin Garnett for Jay Groom.
Exactly. And then Matthew Lugo, who is another guy that is just, he's really good defensively. He's not anything to wow you at the plate. He's got nice speed and he can get on base, but he's like that just stereotypical speedy infielder that just has off the charts defensive ability, and will probably do enough at the plate to be interesting. He's like Jose Iglesias kind of guy.
Right.
Which is really valuable at the major league level.
Yep.
So he's
had a long career.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that Lugo could be that kind of infielder wherever he lands. He's still only, was he 20? He's 19. So his ETA is not anytime soon. But again, he was a guy that split between two levels in 2019. And then, I saw enough in that season to be interested. And then that was only in like 40 games. And then there was no season. Yeah. So I didn't get to see how he carried that forward. And so now we're here again. And I'm like, well, I'm antsy. I want to see it again. I want to see it happen again. So
and you feel like the guys that are 19, like Lugo, haven't lost as much of their development as the people. And maybe this is short-sighted, but when I see somebody is coming out of that year off at 24 and they're going to double A or triple A, and I prefer to see someone that has a lot of time in front of him. I mean, he was a second-round pick in 2019. He could blow up this year for sure.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like the older guys, like 22-plus, were the ones that really kind of got hosed with that lack of a season.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so those are the guys that I'm looking at. It's really just guys that I would have been excited about last year, and then we didn't get to see them. So
yep.
Here we are.
All right, we'll give you one more question, then we'll let you get out of here. Deep sleepers to watch, kind of best chance to move into the top 20 next year. That maybe you can go as deep as you want with this sleeper, or a couple of names for us.
Yeah, so... a couple that I have, I was going off a Fangraphs list. Jason Rosario and Nick Decker were both, they were like 21 and 22.
Yeah.
So that it might have been a cop out for the question, but they are outside the top 20.
No, that works. That works. And I think that Rosario was outside the top 20 on the Over the Monster fans voting as well, which we commented on. So that works.
Yeah. Both of those guys, you know, Nick Decker didn't really get a chance to do much last year, like everybody else. So I think with a solid season, then he would jump pretty significantly up the list. And Rosario, I think, already has the skill sets to do that. Durbin Feltman is another guy who was like 28 or something like that. This also kind of feels like a make or break year for him as well. He was someone that I was looking to take a major step forward last year and then didn't get a chance to see it. So now I'm looking for it this year. I believe he's at double A.
Yes.
I think. Yeah.
24 years old. So he's on that group we were just talking about that got hosed.
Yeah. He was on the fast track, to the majors. Like could have been the, who's it? Brendan Finnegan for the Royals.
Yeah.
Got drafted and then ended up pitching in the World Series the same year.
Craig Hansen. Is that his name?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was another one.
Yeah.
Durbin Feltman, you know, he had that, he was on pace to potentially do that with the Red Sox in 2018. But then he was well beyond the highest number of innings he had ever pitched and just completely wore down. And then I think they shut him down after like three innings in the minors. Yeah. And then kind of struggled in 2019. And so was looking to see him have a major bounce back. And he does feel like one of the ones that got hosed missing that year because he's one of the elder statesmen of the farm, and is kind of on like his make or break year. And particularly with the past couple of years, the Red Sox bullpen being god awful, he really had a chance to, like, if he had a really good 2019, he could have been there.
Yeah. I was so ready for that. And watching him close games out, and I guess this is a lesson learned, right? You have a lot more or way less room for error as a closer coming out of college. But he was so dominant at the end of those games. And when I saw that they picked him, I was all fired up about it and had those exact thoughts. Like, this guy can help us this year, you know? And here we are a couple of years later.
And now the Red Sox bullpen is looking as strong as it ever has. So it's going to be harder going forward to make a mark and kind of establish him and even kind of like get the chance. So I'm hoping that he has a really good year this year, because this feels like his make or break year as well. And then Brian Gonzalez.
Absolutely. Who, and that, oh yeah, go ahead. Brian Gonzalez. Let's close with him.
Yeah. Brian Gonzalez was way down the list. He was close to 40. His ETA is out there. 2019, he was 17 years old, but in 67 games, hit 9 homers, stole 7 bases, had a double-digit walk rate, and a 341 OBP, 114 WRC plus. He, like, to be that young and have that power established already is real exciting.
Yeah.
And then again, was like fully drawn into that 2019 and seeing how he takes a step forward. In 2020, didn't happen, so now here we are. But him still only being 19 years old, not super worried about his development. Don't think it really derails him at all, but looking forward to him being at a more advanced level and seeing if that power speed combo is still there. Because if it is, that is real exciting. And that is going to shoot him up the prospect ranks. Because that a power speed outfielder is like what every team is looking for. And they may have one. So it's a rare combo, especially one that has the on-base skills that he does. So he could be a real exciting guy to watch in the farm.
Yeah, and you know, you got to hope that the steals stay there, like you said. I mean, sometimes those stolen base numbers can be misleading in the lower minors, so hopefully he can continue that on. I don't think he got an assignment to start, but I'm sure he'll be at A-ball soon enough. And I love that pick. That's down in the 40s on the list that I'm looking at. That's where I went when we were talking about this last week. I gave a Luis Perales, the right-handed pitcher.
That was throwing... actually the other guy I was looking at.
Oh, really? Yeah. I mean, he was throwing like 96 at 16 years old, and you went with the big raw power guy. You know, those are the ones with the big tools at 16, 17 years old that are fun to dream on if they can put them all together.
Yeah.
Or put it all together. So, all right. Well, Keaton, thanks for joining us. You can find both me and Keaton at the Dynasty Guru, as well as Over the Monster. Anything that you want to plug while we have you here?
No, just check out the roundtables at OTM. Yeah. Fun stuff.
There you go. You can follow Keaton at The Spoken Keats on Twitter. You can follow me at BobOsgood15. And Shelly, who will be back next week, ShellyV_643. Feel free to throw us a message on there, and we can answer any questions in next week's episode. So thanks again, Keaton, and we will talk to you all next week.